So what's your favorite Mozart piece? Is it Eine kleine Nachtmusik? Or the Magic Flute Overture. Or Marriage of Figaro Overture. Or any of the 600 other pieces Mozart wrote, starting when he was a 5-year-old child prodigy with father issues. And in the eyes of our classical music columnist Fran Hoffner, that makes Mozart the Justin Bieber of classical music? Wait, what? If I was your boyfriend, never let you go. And Fran joins us from the studios of WBEZ in Chicago. Fran, you write, and I'm not kidding, what's the Bieber connection to Mozart?
Well, I think it's sometimes tough to realize because classical music feels so long ago that these guys in their teens did have the same kind of level of celebrity that our very young pop stars had, including Justin Bieber, that, you know, a lot of Mozart's work was done in his, like, late teen years.
And he made some choices that some others might have seen as erratic. That has a little bit of Bieber in it. And Bieber was just 18 when he put out Boyfriend. We were just listening to that. And we asked people for their favorite Mozart. And you land on, and again you say, don't laugh, Symphony No. 29.
Yeah.
Why?
It's a little bit of an obscure one, but I think it's just so nice.
Nice. I mean, nice feels like Minnesota, you know?
You know, it does, but maybe as a Midwesterner, I'm sort of like, that's great, though. That's the highest of compliments.
Well, let's listen and tell us what we're listening for. So nice.
Mm-hmm. It's a melody that just immediately invites you in to listen to it.
Yeah. And nice doesn't make it less musical?
Not at all.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Mozart was always working on different variations and explorations of melody, and that 29 resonated with me as, I think, just sort of a gamble. But this is the one that, to me, just sort of, like, clicks.
Okay, so that was the Allegro Moderato, or relatively fast. There's also the Andante. Which you say is pure nap music, if you've ever heard it, and you mean that in a profoundly respectful way.
I do, yeah.
Because why?
You know, it's peaceful and it really lulls you into a sense of comfort. And by saying that you could fall asleep to it, I don't mean that it's not engaging. I mean it really sort of calms you down.
Yeah. You say Mozart has tapped into your neurons and told you to chill the hell out.
Yeah.
Which is often a good thing. But picking up again on the Bieber connection, when Mozart wrote Symphony 29, he was 18, as Bieber was 18 when he wrote Boyfriend. We heard a little bit of that. Mozart was also kind of a restless musician in the Salzburg court. He got fired because he went rogue. He traveled to Vienna looking for a better job. So we have to think of it that way, too.
Yeah, definitely. I think you see Mozart in the Salzburg court, not unlike how we saw Bieber sort of transition out of his teen years in a kind of like reckless and irresponsible way. I think Mozart got sort of stir crazy in Salzburg. It eventually felt too small, too contained, and that's when he went to Vienna and things really sort of blew up for him.
Yeah. So back to the Symphony 29. We want to listen to the Menuetto, some distinctive cellos at the end. What are we listening to here?
I mean, mean, it's a little pretentious in a tongue-in-cheek way. This is definitely music for court and for dancing, but it still has... what I've come to learn about Mozart is that his music always had a really nice sense of humor about itself, and I think you can kind of hear that in the Menuetto.
How do you not love it, you ask us. Then the last movement, Allegro con spirito.
With spirit. This is the sound that I think people most traditionally associate with Mozart, is this really enthusiastic and encouraging kind of tone.
Cheerful, exciting, no stressful tension. But again, doesn't that make it a little Bieber-esque? I mean, classical music is also supposed to make us think, make us feel conflict, isn't it?
Yeah, I think sometimes there are symphonies, especially later, more romantic ones, that really kind of put you through emotional turmoil to reach a big and joyful ending. And for this, in the way that we see pop music, I think that sense of conflict is a little less than, or a little maybe just like lower stakes.
Because he hasn't really probably come across conflict yet. He's a teenager. As you ask, he wrote with this when he was 18 years old. What were you doing when you're 18 years old? Not too deep, maybe.
Yeah.
But he did have those issues with his father. You recently visited Salzburg, Mozart's birthplace, and we were reminded there's those scenes in Amadeus where the father figure is terrifying Mozart. Here's a delusional Mozart imagining his father's coming after him for yet another composition.
It's him.
Who?
The man. He's here. Tell him to go away. Tell him I'm still working on it. Don't let him in. No, wait. Ask him if he would give me some money now. Tell him if he would, it would help me to finish it.
So there is a depth. Was this music then maybe an escape for him from that tension of his father?
It definitely could have been, and I think he used his music generally to help him understand, I think, himself more than anything else. There's a lot of pressure you see, I think, just generally speaking, in being the child of another musician and artist. And so for him to create as prolifically as he did, I think in part was also to just like push himself further into understanding what he could do rather than being a reflection of his father's art.
What was it like to go to Salzburg?
Oh, Salzburg is gorgeous. It's just this very little city right embedded in the Alps. And it's so wild to be in a place that is so enthusiastic about Mozart kind of as a whole, to like walk past shop windows with Mozart's face on them, on T-shirts and on tote bags and all that.
Oh, you were in heaven.
Yeah, it was great. There was, you know, I saw like a Letterman jacket that said Mozart in big letters on the back. And I was like, ugh, I'm like 5 years too old to spend a lot of money on this, but maybe one day.
Were you also trying to imagine a teenage Mozart, you know, maybe with his peeps, as Bieber was, you know, throwing signs or whatever, you know, on the streets of Salzburg?
Yeah, I mean, I think he did have this sort of like artistic posse of people who liked and trusted and surrounded him and kept him in kind of a bubble of celebrity.
So Mozart, the nicest music, which you mean that as a huge compliment.
I do.
And your favorite, Symphony 29. I'll ask listeners for theirs. They can leave a comment at hearandnow.org. Fran Hoffner, who writes about classical music with her own distinctive slant. Fran, thanks so much.
Thank you.